Chapter 13. Our former glory. Foster Kernan heard the battle raging above. It sat poorly with him to lurk here like assassins in the shadows, waiting. But then he supposed that is what they were. It is what we have been reduced to. The underground complex had been carved out by the Mechanicum using their menials and machines. It had alcoves and chambers. The corridors had deck plating underfoot. Every effort had been made to map the extent of Vulcan's armory, to find any entry point and probe for any possible weakness in its outer shell. Judging by what Regulus had revealed to him, it was large enough to harbor a battle barge. The Adept had found the Drake Lord's old sunken cache quickly. Seismic stakes of Regulus's own design were launched from orbit and had been driven deep into the planet's crust. Using the resulting geological mapping made possible by the stakes, Regulus had detected an immense structure deep below the surface. Entry had proven more difficult. Acoustics in the subterranean levels, cored out by the Adept's machines and menials, were good. Kernan and his warriors could hear every war cry, every dying scream.
I believe that was Nevok, whispered Rako Solomus casually.
His head was cocked to one side as if trying to discern the cadence of specific legionaries as they died or fought.
Those are your brothers, spat Kernan with no shortage of bile.
I have no doubt they'll fight like the dirty Chthonian scum they truly are.
A few of the others looked around at that, the growls of their power armor acting as a metaphor for their thoughts. Solomus held up his hands.
I meant it honorably, he said. Besides, aren't we waiting here in the dark to stab some of our warrior cousins in the back?
He shrugged, as much as was possible, wearing warplate.
That feels quite underhand.
What we do for the War Master, snapped Creed.
The legionary's gauntlet creaked metallically as he tightened a fist around the haft of his sheathed chainblade. The other arm ended at the elbow in a stump of fused bone and cauterized flesh, a fact that made him no less deadly. Again Solomus feigned contrition.
Hail Horus, he said.
You had best hold your tongue now, legionary,
Kernan muttered to him under his breath, so only Solomus could hear.
Else you'll be the one that finds a knife in his back.
Solomus nodded.
I'll keep that in mind.
What is wrong with you, brother?
Kernan asked, keeping his voice low. Do you hate your legion? Or should you have died on Isfan III with the other traitors?
I hear they call us that. It's a matter of perspective, I suppose.
I need an answer, Solomus, said Kernan.
He had drawn his blade without the other legionary noticing, but showed its edge to him now. Solomus gave a mirthless laugh, more like a choke of breath.
Oh, no need to ruddy your blade. And I killed my share of dissenters on Isfan III.
Kernan could hear the amusement in his voice.
More than my share. Our father has no more dutiful a son than I, and the Legion no more willing a soldier. But this, serving these cold-hearted, bloodless machines, it makes me want to kill everyone.
Kernan could not disagree with that. He sheathed his knife. There were five legionaries in the chamber, all that Kernan could spare from the forces he had left above. His was a second force, a flanking force that would ensnare the salamanders and push them into doing something desperate. Kernan had argued with the Mechanicum emissary about the plan, that digging out an entrenched cohort of Vulcan sons would be both lengthy and costly. But Regulus had seemed unconcerned.
You'll get your chance, said Kernan, returning to the matter at hand. We all will.
Solomus nodded.
Even them?
Behind them, waiting in the dark, arrayed in dormant ranks, were scores of battle servitors. Eyes as dull as stone glared coldly into the shadows, but at a command from the Adept would rouse into violent animation. It was, Kernan thought, an unsubtle reminder of Regulus's power.
I doubt they would even feel it.
Are we lackeys now, brother?
Asked Solomus. Kernan scowled, but did not answer. Obeck was on his knees, the hulking presence of Cronus looming behind him. Despite the pain, the salamander's legionary managed to lift his chin to look at the adept.
"How do you even know I can open it?"
"I do not,"
Regulus replied, scrutinizing Obeck through the optic implants hidden in the shadows of his cowl.
"I have a hypothesis, but I need your compliance to test it."
Obeck bared his bloody teeth in a half-smile, half-snarl.
"You aren't considering all the variables, Master Adept."
The chittering refrain of Regulus's steps echoed in the cavern as he came forwards, within reach of the salamander's legionary. Obeck whispered,
"I would rather die than help you."
Obeck sprang up from his kneeling position to seize the adept around where his throat should be. He grabbed something corded and unyielding, cold like metal but throbbing in some horrific parody of life. The hood fell back, and the illusion of humanity shattered. The optics that served as the adept's eyes flared once, brightly, painfully. Two arachnoid limbs darted from behind his back through slips in his robes and speared Obeck through the left and right pectoral muscles. Obeck cried out in sudden agony, staring at where two blades had pierced his armor.
"Now you see," said Regulus,
his voice even more human in that terrifying moment of revelation. He forced Obeck back down to his knees and broke the hold the salamander's legionary had on his throat.
"I do not appreciate being touched," the adept said. "I find it human and distasteful. I theorized your humanity and pragmatism might provoke a desirable reaction, that you would choose to sacrifice yourself to ensure the survival of your brothers."
He retracted the blades, releasing two twin spurts of blood from Obeck's body. Two further limbs then returned the cowl as Regulus retreated beyond the salamander's legionary's reach.
"I conclude that I have made an error."
"It won't be your last,"
said Obeck, growling against the pain.
"Experimentation is trial and error. I have erred with you, legionary."
He looked up and his eyes flared again, this time issuing a command instead of countermanding a pre-programmed one.
"What?"
Obeck began, before Cronus seized his neck in one mechanized fist and turned him. The buzzsaw blade affixed to the Castellax's other arm glowed hot and began to turn. Then it slashed down and took off Obeck's arm at the elbow. He screamed, loud enough to echo down the corridor, and clutched the stump of his right arm. Sheer, agonizing heat cauterized the wound in the instant of severance. Obeck clamped his teeth shut so hard he thought they might crack.
"Solimus failed, but I suspected I could make you scream," the adept said.
"I'll kill you for this,"
Obeck growled through the pain.
"Statistically, that is unlikely, given your current predicament."
He looked down at Obeck's severed arm. Cronus still held on to the salamander, so Regulus retrieved the limb himself. Then he carried it over to the door where the sigil of the Lord of Drakes glared coldly.
"I believe this mechanism is of Mechanicum manufacture. I assume it was gifted to your dead Primarch as part of the accord and unity that has long existed between Mars and Nocturne. Do you know how it works?"
Obeck slowly shook his head, his teeth still gritted in agony, and his face beaded with sweat.
"It is sealed with Vulcan's own genetic markers. Literally, his blood is keeping me out."
Obeck gave an angry nod.
"Even in death, he defies traitors and renegades."
"Does that give you comfort, Salamander?"
"You know it does."
"Curious. But this is not pertinent to why we are here. Vulcan lives in you, legionary."
"What?"
Obeck frowned, as the word nearly caught in his mouth.
"Not in some spiritual sense that would act as some temporary and self-deluding salve to your obvious grief. I mean, actually, in you. Your blood, your genetic heritage, it holds the key."
He regarded the limb once more.
"Alive or dead, we shall have our answer."
Then he thrust the arm into the gaping mouth of the sigil. Nothing happened. No sound of gear moving emanated from within, and there was no trembling of the earth as the rot finally gave up its secret. There was only silence, followed by a frustrated blurt of binaric from Regulus. Obeck laughed. He laughed so loudly and so hard that he felt fresh pain from his wounds.
"You heard again," he said.
Regulus turned swiftly, his optics picking out the arm that was still attached to his prisoner.
"An experiment. I could have forced your arm into the lock, but I wanted to see if I needed to." "Trial and error," the adept reminded him,
and looked up to his hulking, mechanized companion.
"Cronus?"
The Castellax had barely engaged its rudimentary cognitive processor when a shell struck its shoulder and tore the arm free in a welter of sparks. Fluid spurted from the thrashing hydraulic cables that had connected torso to limb, but the construct was already turning and priming weapons as the second shell struck its center mass and exploded. This blow was less effective. The impact dispersed across its heavily armored shell as smoke plumed around its body, barely impeding the Castellax as it put itself between harm's way and its master. Obeck tried to rise, but stumbled and could only look back. Figures in power armor advanced towards him through the shadows. Three bolters flared as one, but Obeck's vision was blurred and he couldn't see his rescuers clearly. He knew they were salamanders, though. He barely had time to shout,
"Vulcan lives!"
before Cronus's shoulder-mounted cannon started up with a roar. Light, heat, and noise filled the crowded corridor, and one of the charging salamander's legionaries went down hard. He struck the wall as the shells detonated, bounced off metal siding, and kept running a few more feet before the heavy bolter put a hole in his torso. The others kept coming, shooting and advancing. A stray round struck Regulus, who emitted a panicked blurt of cant that made Cronus half-turn. A plasma bolt screamed out of the chaos and destroyed the Castellax's cannon, as a second bored a hole through its reactor. The air filled with an actinic stench, and the ear-shredding whine of a reactor overload before a plosive detonation rocked the corridor. Dust and grit streamed from the ceiling as Cronus VI exploded loudly and violently. Thrown onto his back, agony surged anew through Obeck's already tortured body. Regulus had fared much worse. He staggered, using his servo limbs to try to steady himself. A piece of shrapnel jutting from his body was impairing the adept's motor function. An amalgam of blood and machine oil was dripping from somewhere beneath his robes. The other salamander's legionaries had been thrown too, and were getting up at the same time Obeck was dragging himself to his feet. He eyed the adept keenly, nodding to him as he reached down for a length of armored piping spat from somewhere amidst Cronus's inner workings. It wasn't a bolter or a chain blade, but it would do.
"Didn't I say it would not be your last error?"
Regulus gave a blurt of binaric as whatever passed for his lifeblood pooled on the ground around him. Obeck grimaced and tried not to enjoy his retribution too much.
"There's not enough left of that thing to save you any more."
"Enough,"
said the adept, his voice modulation fluctuating wildly.
"Fuckers."
A third plasma bolt vaporized him before he could say anything else, and Obeck turned around to see who had denied him vengeance. His annoyance immediately abated when he recognized who it was.
"Forgefather?"
"I live, Firebearer,"
Tekel said, and gestured to Obeck's arm.
"But you look barely alive yourself."
"Half,"
Obeck said, and looked down at his severed arm. Regulus had dropped it when he had been impaled.
"He said the door was sealed, and only the Primarch's genetic markers could unlock it."
Zen's arrival prevented any further discussion. He was bloodied and had come from farther down the corridor.
"A second force is pushing this way,"
he told them, then remembered to salute his captain. Obeck looked down the corridor, but could see only darkness. He did hear the distant sound of combat, though, and said,
"Speak, Zen."
"Battle servitors with renegades leading them. I heard it from Zandu."
"Where is he?"
asked Tekel.
"And what of Krask and our egress?"
Zen shook his head, just as the vox crackled to life.
"This is Sergeant Zandu. Respond." You are speaking to Obeck, Brother Sergeant. What is your position? Where is Krask?
Captain! Praise Vulcan, you are alive!
Said Zandu, but his joy was short-lived.
Krask! I don't know. Something has gone wrong. We were overwhelmed and surrounded.
Where are you now, Sergeant?
Closing on your position, but we are embattled by a second force.
Well, can you hold them until we arrive?
Negative, Brother Captain. Var has cleansed and burned behind us, but the flames will only keep them at bay for so long. Our lead was scant to begin with and is being eroded. We are falling back.
Understood. In your opinion, can we effect a breach in their lines, given our current strength?
Unless you are several full-strength battle squads, Brother Captain. Again, negative.
Obeck arched his neck and exhaled loudly. Hyper-aggressive endorphins in his blood had dulled his pain to a throbbing ache, but could do nothing for his frustration.
How long?
The distant sounds of gunfire intensified, growing louder by the second.
Imminently, Brother Captain!
Obeck looked to Zen.
Can we hold them here?
There was little cover, save for the shallow alcoves running down the walls.
Oh, if even a tenth of the force Zandu says is coming for us is behind him, then no, we cannot.
He stripped out his bolt pistol and gave it to Obeck, who nodded in thanks, checked the clip and sight, then slipped it into the holster where his own sidearm had been. Then he turned to Tekel.
You should not have come back for me. It was reckless.
Zen stepped in to answer.
Would you have left one of us, Brother Captain?
Obeck could hardly argue with that. He gripped Zen's pauldron, then turned back to Tekel.
I'm sorry, Forgefather. The Unscarred have failed you. We have failed the Primarch. But we shall at least die with honor.
We are not dead yet, Tekel replied.
He had his back to Obeck and was regarding the door to the Rort. It was large, far larger than any of the Salamander's legionaries, and ornate, the metal carved with intricate care and an artisan's skill, but with an impenetrability to rival any bastion gate. No locks were in evidence, no bars or visible defences of any kind, just the sigil and the mechanism with the drake's fanged maw. Blood shone on the teeth. Not fresh, not Obeck's. His wounds had been cauterized on impact.
It did not work,
Tekel asked, as the sound of battle came increasingly closer. They could even make out Zandu's bellowed imprecations to Vulcan and the wild laughter of Zebdu Var.
Forgefather?
Zen and the others had assumed firing positions, kneeling to make for smaller targets or pressed into the alcoves.
The door, said Tekel. Your blood. It is sealed still. Did it not work, whatever the adept was attempting?
He tried and failed.
Tekel lifted his arm to the light as if to examine it.
Part of me is still flesh and blood. I have to believe Vulcan bestowed this burden upon me for some reason. I think the door was gene-coded to me alone.
And thrust his hand into the mouth of the Drake sigil.